This is A Radical Thought, and I'm Rick Lancaster. Let's take a look at a verse or two from the Bible and see what God might want to say to us today.
And so I'd like to say a prayer as we're getting started. Okay, you're welcome to join me. Father, Lord, we come before you, and Lord, just pray, God, that you would just strike away anything that is not of you from us today, that we would be able to receive the milk and the meat of your word. God, personally in me, I pray, God, that you remove anything in me that's not of you. God, just cast away any evil, anything, God, and just let your truth, your love, your goodness, God, come out. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be a faithful minister of your word this morning. And we pray, God, that all of us would be able to hear what you have to say, not what I have to say, but what you have to say from your word to our hearts today. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, in our text today, the passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at is out of the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And so you can go ahead and turn there. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it to us here. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So we're going to be digging into this today. But just before we dive in, I just want to say I'm humbled to be teaching here with you. I'm humbled to be asked. And I'm 36 years old. And so I was thinking about my age in the light of Scripture, in the light of what we have before us. And I calculated it back to when it was first written, using my own age. That's 55 generations of other men, other people that were 33 years old and passed it along, passed it to us so that we have it, so that I have it. It was just shocking and humbling to me that those generations, they received God's word and they were faithful to it and were able to pass it along to the next. It was a movement of the Holy Spirit that enabled people, you and everyday people like you and me, to have God's word now. And so, like I said, I'm totally humbled by it and just see the preservation of God's word, that he's faithful to his word. His word will remain always. But as I thought about it more, I just think of my personal relationships in my life. And specifically this morning, I was thinking of two individuals that have exemplified what it is to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And that's Pastor Randy and that's Pastor Rick. Both of these men have been so influential in my life in demonstrating what it is to be someone that lives out God's word and practices it daily. And being someone that was, first brought to this church from family, I think it was over like 15 years ago, something I was thinking about it. Before I was filled with the Spirit and set free, I was sitting in the congregation way back at the Core Christian Fellowship days. So just humbled to stand before you today. So with that being said, we're going to be looking at this, and we're going to be talking a lot about sanctification. This is Christian living, okay? But when we go into this passage here in verse 22, we get an outline of this whole section. So just to place ourselves where we're at, where God's teaching through James to the congregation there, let's look at verse 19. It says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." So that's sort of an outline that he gives for this section that we're getting into. So anger is covered in verse 20 through 21. Hearing is in 22 through 25. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And speaking is in 26. And then further on down talks about what a real Christian is doing, the pure and undefiled religion, what that looks like. But let's zoom in here to verse 22 and read. Actually, let's just read this whole section again. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So we have 3 points to talk about today. 3 points that we're going to cover. The first is hearers only. That's found in verse 22 through 24, and there's 3 aspects to that. There's the self-deceived. There's those that move away from the word, and the forgetful Christian. The 3 aspects there to the hearers only. Then the second point is found in verse 25. This is the doer of the word, and this person has 4 aspects to them. They look at the word, they persevere in it, they're acting, and they're blessed. So this is the person we want to be. Amen? This is the person we want to be. And then our 3rd point, we're going to ask ourselves, who am I? Who am I? So verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." This word "but" is a qualifier. It's a conjunction that connects it back to verse 21. And in that passage in verse 21, James is telling the church there, the Christians, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So he makes this statement, put these things away and receive with meekness the implanted word, because it's God's word is so powerful, it's able to save your soul. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
So this is so important that we're hearing correctly. There's a right way to hear. That's the qualifier that James gives right after saying that about God's word, about hearing it. So let's go ahead and zoom in and get a little bit more detail. It's important for us to learn today because James wants to make sure we don't miss this. We could ask why, because the magnitude of the question, the magnitude of what's going on, if somebody misses this, there's salvation of the soul there. There's right Christian living. There's eternal rewards. And so James is so concerned. So the first thing he says is, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. This word "be" is a command to fundamentally be a type of person. We are commanded here to actively, presently be acting in accordance with the word, namely with what the Bible says. This means right now bringing our lives into agreement with the commandments of Scripture. So the present, or the sense of this word is in the present tense. So it's not a past or a future command. This is a today command. This is a right now in this moment command. That we are to be this type of a person. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so James is telling us this morning, God is telling us through his word, be this, be this. And this is James's concern for the church. To be this type of a person. So there are good aspects, the good Christian we're going to talk about, and then there's the bad aspects, the bad Christian. Do you believe that there's bad Christians? There are. And so he describes what's happening here. First point, this is the hearers only. He's saying, and not be a doer and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Paul echoes this in Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the word, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So just to clarify, hearing the word is good. We want to hear the word. In Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So hearing is good. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word. We were just talking about that. And also in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So we're to hear the word, we're to be listening to the word. This example given here in the Old Testament, speaking of teaching the word, it's good, and we need to do this. However, in all this, and this is the point I want you to pick up here, let's listen. In all of this doing, the auditory, the studying, the understanding, there is a type of hearing that is not good. And this is what James is talking about. It's like a coin, okay? It's like a coin. The good, freshly minted coin, bright and shiny, and on one side, it has stamped on it, hearing the word of God. And on the other side of the coin is stamped on it, doing the word of God. This coin represents the useful Christian. This coin is useful. This is the useful Christian. The bad coin, however, is effaced, dirty, damaged, scratched over, corroded, and unrecognizable. This coin represents the hearer's only Christian. This coin only has one side to it, and so in all practicality is non-existent and good for nothing. Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." This is our warning today, that in our hearing the word of God, we would not be self-deceived. And so then we zoom in on that part that of our passage. It says, deceiving yourselves. I'm going to quote from a commentator here, Douglas J. Moo, on this. He said it so well. "People who merely listen to God's word are on dangerous ground and are deceiving themselves. To be deceived is clear here in this context. It is to be blinded to the reality of one's true religious state. People can think they are right with God when they really are not. So it is for those people who hear the word, such as regular church attenders, pastors, seminary students, seminary professors, but do not do it. They are mistaken in thinking they are truly right with God, for God's word cannot be divided into parts. If one wants the benefit of its saving power, meaning the gospel, and justification by faith alone, one must also embrace its guide for life, meaning Christian living sanctification." We can't cut out the parts that we like in the Bible and throw the rest away. We have to take the entire word for what it says. So next, James gives us an analogy to help us understand what he's saying, the warning that he has. So let's look at verse 23 and 24. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Okay, let's zoom into this passage a little bit. For if anyone, that's you, that's me, anyone. It's clear here. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. This word is describing this type of person. Moreover, the sense in the Greek is that this is a present statement of fact. James is simply telling us like it is. This is not a hypothetical. It's not a hypothetical. He's talking about types of people. Types of people in this room today. It says he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. So let's look here. It says the word looks here in the Greek means to be presently and actively observing, beholding, and considering. So the picture is that this person is observing, beholding, and considering their own face, right? He's looking at their own face. They're observing their own face. So we can relate to this. What do we do when we see a mirror? We look at ourselves, right? We totally look at ourselves. You know, we check if our hair is right. You know, ladies are checking the makeup. You see if maybe the shirt collar's up. You know, check everything. Make sure it's good. We like to look at ourselves. We do this with selfies, too, on our phones, you know. You know, you get the phone out, and then you try to get the right angle. And, oh, not too low. Got to get it up high. Watch the chin line, and then, you know, get the right angle. And then you take it, click, and then what do you do? Post. So we totally understand what it is to be looking at our reflection, to be seeing ourselves, especially in our culture today. Very visual. But what does all this looking and observing tell us? It tells us of our natural state. It's informing us of our natural state, whether we look good or bad, essentially. What's going on? Namely, our identity. But remember, James is giving us a picture about the natural so that we can better understand the supernatural. There is a deeper spiritual truth. This person is looking at the Word of God. So this means that when we are looking at, beholding, and considering the Word of God, God's Word is doing something in return. It's like a mirror reflecting back at us, reflecting the state of our own soul. That's the power of God's word. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart." In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19, it says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reflects the man. What is God's word revealing about your heart today? What does his word reflect about the current state of your soul today? When you zoom in, what do you see? Are there wrinkles of compromise? Are there stains of impurity? Are there spots of apathy? If you see any of these things, get clean. Get clean. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, James actually has already told us. In verse 21, he said, "Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Put away that stuff. What are you looking at? Put it away. Put it away and receive the word. Really receive the word. So let's move on to verse 24. Verse 24 says, "For he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he was like." So let's zoom in here on this phrase, "For he looks at himself and goes away." So this believer sees the reflection of their spiritual state by looking at Scripture. This is good. This is the hearer only. They're looking at Scripture. They're looking at Scripture. They're seeing it. But then they actively and purposefully move away from looking at Scripture. Why? John 3:20 tells us, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." It's a spiritual battle. Let's look at what happens when the hearer-only type of Christian looks away from Scripture. It says he at once or immediately forgets what he was like. So the key failure of the hearer-only is that he forgets. But what does he forget? He forgets what he was like. He's looked into Scripture and saw the truth about himself and about his current spiritual status reflected back at him, but now has completely forgotten. Completely forgotten. So this is you and me. This is us. When we are hearers only of the word and not doers of the word. It's like we look into the mirror of Scripture and see this sin issue on our heart. And it looks like this massive boil on our face. This hideous staph infection just popping out right between our eyes. Red, swollen, and oozing pus. This thing is gross. It's gross. And what do? We look away from Scripture and we completely forget. This thing is right there. Completely forget. Is it going to get better?
No.
Is it going to get worse? Yeah, probably. It has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. And not only that, we forget our identity in Jesus. We forget our identity in Christ. And this is tragic. We forget the promises of God. We forget the warnings of God. We forget that we are in a spiritual war, and we forget how to fight. 2 Corinthians 10:35 or 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ." James is warning the church that to be a hearer only and not a doer of the word means you are an open target spiritually and you are self-deceived. This is a dangerous road to walk, especially for the more imaginative and theologically minded. Just because we think something or know something doesn't mean we actually do it. We can know the theology about forgiveness, but do we forgive? We can know the theology of spiritual gifts, but do we practice them? We can know the theology of giving, but do we give? We can know the theology of agape love, but do we sacrificially love as Christ has loved us? If we are not practicing the commands of Christ, then we have forgotten who we are and who God is. Douglas J. Moo said, "God is constantly warning his people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament not to forget his mighty acts that he did on their behalf, but to remember his mercies and his law." So to remember God, his acts, his teaching is to contemplate them in such a way that they make a lasting impression on the heart and mind. The person who forgets what he has seen in God's word is one who listens, they're listening superficially, not imprinting the message on one's own soul. Question for us today. Have you forgotten who you are in Christ? Have you forgotten you are in a spiritual fight? Have you forgotten you are created in the image of God for his purposes? Have you forgotten that God loves you and has given himself for you? Have you forgotten that God is the ultimate source of peace, love, and joy? If you have, open your heart to him now. Confess your forgetful heart and be strengthened by his loving Holy Spirit and be a doer of the word. Our second point here brings us right to the doing of the word. It's found in verse 25. And there's four aspects to this. The doer looks at the word, but there's a difference in the way the doer looks. Preserves in the word, acts, and is blessed. So let's read verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So let's look at the phrase right here, but the one who looks. This individual is continually, actively looking, viewing, reading, and observing God's word. But not just looking at this word. The word looks here, or observes, is a different Greek word from what we saw in verses 23 and 24 when referring to the hearers only. So this doer is looking differently than the hearers only. The word here is more than just observing or considering. This word has a picture with it, meaning to actively be stooping down, like your head's coming down, literally to bend over, head forward, lean in, and peer within. That's what this word means. It's a different type of looking. It's a really, really peering in. Have you ever had a drawer in your house get stuck? Growing up, and my parents still have it actually, they have a junk drawer. And so it's like all the junk just goes into it. It's got screwdrivers and pens and pencils and notepads and just random things just kind of wind up in this drawer. And every now and then, there'd be stuff so shoved into this thing, you go to get something out, and you couldn't get anything out. You know, it's just stuck. It's, you know, it's jamming. So first thing, you pull harder, you know, and it's knocking, and it's not opening. And so then you have to take your time and sort of kind of crack the drawer open a little bit, you know, kind of wiggle it around, see if it'll break loose. And then you peer within and see what is the thing that's not moving. What's this thing right here? And then you kind of get your finger in there, wiggle it, and then boom, now you can get the drawer open. You know, the hammer was in the way or the screwdriver or something that was wedged. So this kind of peering, this kind of digging, this kind of looking, this is what James is talking about. This is the type of looking into the word that he's talking about. This is digging into the word of God. This is reading the word of God and getting questions and then looking for answers. And not settling, but continuing to just go deeper and deeper into God's word. This is the doer of the word. This is the practice that they do when they come to God's word. In Romans 12, 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God is." So the doer is looking and digging into the perfect law of liberty. Perfect law, the law of liberty. Now, James told us in 22 and 23 to be a doer of the word and not hearers only. But now James changes the word from word to law. So he's uniting the two. He's making it synonymous. So what does that mean? It's scripture. He's talking about scripture here. But he's uniting it with the law, which he's indicating something a little bit deeper for us to pick up. But the believer may ask, and we could ask, well, I thought the law was over and done with. Well, let's listen to what Jesus had to say. He said in Matthew 5:17 through 19, Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So when James refers to the perfect law of liberty, he is indicating a specific view of looking at the law that is different than how the Jews typically would. James is looking at the law through the lens of Jesus' completed work on the cross and the giving of the Holy Spirit for the empowerment of the church. Amen. So that we can live a holy, holy life with God, so we can know Him, walk with Him. So essentially, the law is perfect because of Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled it, and now we are also to be followers of Jesus as looking into the perfect law of liberty. This is the way that Jesus lived in accordance with Scripture. Well, what is that law then? What is that? Well, Jesus told us, and again, Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, Jesus was asked the question, "Teacher, what is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind," and there's others that say all your strength. "This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The law is love. Perfect love. Pure, holy love. Love for God. Love for others. So, however, it's impossible for us to perfectly live out these commandments of love on our own strength. And then we're condemned by our failure to live out these commandments of love. And there's judgment to failure for the sin of our state. But that's why Christ came. That's why Christ came, to save us. Paul says in Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." This is the difference between the Old and New Testaments. Again, in Galatians 20, it says, "2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The love that God had given to Paul, the love that God has given for you and for me. God loved us first, reaching out to save us, to redeem, and to empower us. 2 Peter 1 through 3, 1 verse 3 says, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Philippians 4:13, many of you know this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." John 14:15 through 17, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The born-again believer is not alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of God has taken up residence inside of the Christian, inside of your body. The Lord is with you. So now the Christian is empowered by God to live a holy life, free from the bondage of sin. This is liberating. And that's why James calls it the law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty. And he gets that from Jesus. Let's go ahead and look at John 8:31. It said, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And then in 36 it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." That's good. That's good. Paul continues this in Romans 8, 1. A lot of us know this passage. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Freedom by the Spirit of God. Freedom in the power of God. By the Holy Spirit coming and living within sight of you. This is the law of life, of liberty. It's perfect. This is perfect. So James calls those who live out this law by the power of the Spirit doers of the word and not hearers only. This is, theologians call it sanctification. It's a fancy word for Christian living, how a Christian lives. So then he describes part of the aspect of this, of what it is to be living in this manner. And it says he perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. So this word perseveres means to continue in, stay near, remain, abide, or survive through difficulty. The one who looks and digs into Scripture, into the law of liberty, and sees the reflection of the truth and stays in the Word and abides with God, abides with Christ, and perseveres, bringing his or her life into agreement, into alignment with what the Scripture says. This Christian remembers their identity and the love of God and are empowered to live out God's will. This has a blessing with it. This has a wonderful blessing. It says he will be blessed in his doing. So the Greek phrase is a factual statement of the future. This is a future blessing. We may also infer here there is a present blessing by having peace with God and that naturally follows walking in agreement with his Spirit, not grieving the Spirit. There is peace, there's joy that happens. But the sense of this blessing is a future blessing. It's an eternal blessing. This is encouragement. This is a great encouragement for the Christian. And I think of Christians in other countries that are going through extreme times of persecution. And they might lose every worldly, what we consider blessing or privilege. They're locked away and everything's been taken away from them. But when they remember this passage in James, that there is an eternal reward and blessing stored up for them, what an encouragement. That's happening right now in other countries. And we're starting to feel some of the pressure in our own country. So we need to pray. Some of these promises are echoed in Hebrews 11:6. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And again in Luke 11:28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Wonderful encouragement. But what happens to the hearers only? To the self-deceived? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 through 24, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. This warning is why James is writing this. This passage in this letter is so heavy. It's a heavy warning. It is a heavy message here, but it's important for us to hear because of the consequences there. That we would not be self-deceived completely. So this brings us to our third point this morning. Who are you? For the Christian here, for the believers here today, are you a hearer only, or are you a doer of the word? What is this passage reflecting about you in this moment? Do you feel blessed from walking in step with the Spirit in the love of God? Do you feel dazed or forgetful? Have some spot of sin hindered your perception of the truth? Have you been a hearer only and not a doer of the word? David prayed in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes we don't really know. At some point, we can drift so far from God. We say, oh God, I search me, Lord. If there's anything within inside of me that I'm not bringing my life into agreement with what your word says and doing it. I'm hearing it, but I'm not living it out. There's some kind of block within inside of me. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. And so if there's a sin issue this morning, come to God. Come to Jesus. Come to him. He's waiting with open arms for you to forgive you, to make you whole, to strengthen you, to empower you with his Spirit so that you live in freedom from the bondage of sin, the freedom from being a Christian that is a hearer only. That on that day when we stand before God, you would have something to present in saying, Jesus did it all and I live my life for him. Or are you going to be that person that was given a gift and then hid it down in the ground and didn't do anything with it? Come to Jesus now. He has so much for you. For the non-Christian, for anybody here that is not identifying as a Christian this morning, maybe a guest, somebody brought by family or friends, or just checking out church today, do you feel in bondage to sin? Jesus offers you liberty as well. It's evident from these passages that the Christian faith is about true heart change. What's going on inside of here? It's not about fulfilling a checklist of do's and don'ts. It is, however, about being a new kind of person, a person that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a real, meaningful life, a life that is liberated to know the fulfillment by having a true personal relationship with God himself. This can only happen by acknowledging your sin before God and putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus said that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Open your heart to him today. Wherever you're at, you see the reflection of where you are personally. We're all in different places. When you look at God's word, you hear his word today. Say, God, there's this thing that's come up. There's this thing on my head. It's festering. I know it's there. God, take it away so that I live in liberty and in joy. Join me in a prayer. Father, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your word and your love. And for any believer here, Lord, today that is struggling with sin issues and not bringing their life into agreement with you, Lord, not living it out, I pray, God, for them to give you it all, to come to the cross, to receive forgiveness, to be whole, to be washed and cleansed. And Lord God, if there be anyone here who does not know you, I pray right now for them to receive you as God and Savior. And say this in your own heart, in your own way right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I have fallen short. I am stained. Wash me. Enter into my heart to be my Lord, my God, and my Savior. I give my life to you to live now this life you described in liberty. Fill me with your spirit and your love. I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to A Radical Thought. The Bible, or Word of God, has the power to transform lives. It's my hope that these brief messages help you to pause and reflect upon what God might want to say to you or to someone in your life. If you enjoyed this message or found it useful, let us know and consider sharing it with someone who might appreciate it. You can subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Look for A Radical Thought or Rick Lancaster and find other podcasts that I put out. In the show notes, you'll find aradicalthought.com, where you can find other resources to help you glorify God, bless others, and grow faith. Until next time, be radical with Jesus.